Construct 2005, Brighton, England. Ben Metcalf, backstage.bbc.co.uk.
Our next speaker is Ben Metcalf. He is project lead for backstage.bbc.co.uk. There's some fantastic stuff going on at the BBC at the moment in terms of them opening up all their content. And backstage.bbc.co.uk is one of the mechanisms for that, providing APIs to the rest of us. And that's what Ben's going to be talking about, how it's enabling people like us to put BBC content on our websites. Over to Ben.
I am indeed Ben Metcalf, and I am the project lead for backstage.bbc.co.uk, which, as I will go on to in my next slide or so, is effectively, it's the BBC's developer network. It is us very wanting to engage with all of you and sharing some of the stuff that we've got and finding out some of your ideas and some of the things that you've got to do, and hopefully trying to incorporate and meld the two together into something fantastic. So let me just start off with some housekeeping. So this presentation is licensed under Creative Commons. It'll be available at the end to download. So please feel free to take notes. Otherwise, you're more than welcome to download it at the end. So things I'm going to cover today, just a little bit of an introduction into Backstage. Then talk about some of the Web 2.0 stuff that and the issues around that in the BBC. A demo, the first public demo of a new project that we're working on, which will have a big Web 2.0 aspect to it. More to follow on that. And a little Q&A at the end, if we've got time. Okay. So can I just get a show of hands? Who here has heard of Backstage, knows what it's about? Sort of put your hand up. Okay. And who here has seen me do a presentation like this before? Great, not many of you. That's good. That's what I wanted to see. I was hoping people weren't going to go, oh, not done the same presentation that you've done before. So what is Backstage? Well, like I said, we very much realized that there are loads of people like yourselves, really talented individuals, people who work in the industry, people who are very passionate about what we're doing, who visit the site, and we want to... We have always wanted to sort of share that a little bit more with you, some of the things that we're doing, some of the content that we've got, because obviously the BBC has lots of different content and assets available to it. And so we've always sort of wanted to share some of that with you. For a long time, we saw people sort of under the radar, sort of scraping the BBC News website or scraping other parts of the BBC site to produce some fantastic stuff. Really cool and imaginative things. But of course, it wasn't agreed, it wasn't above board, we hadn't sanctioned it. So, you know, cease and desists were going off to people. And as a developer and a software engineer myself, I was really sort of disappointed because I could see some of the cool things people were doing, you know, taking news content, displaying it in a different way, incorporating it into their own sites. It was fantastic. So about this time last year, we'd been thinking of this idea for a while, but we came up with really kicking off Backstage as a proper project within the BBC. And the site launched in beta about 6 months ago and launched sort of for real in July. So what is Backstage? It is an opportunity for us to connect with you and for you to connect with us. We really do want to sort of establish a dialogue with all of you and really feed back into our creative process with what we're doing and hopefully try to feed back into some of the stuff that you're doing. And like I said, a kind of sort of mutually beneficial relationship. Backstage is also a community of developers, so it's not just the BBC there. There is a community that we're trying to support where you can come along and meet other people who have of similar interests. At the moment, that's an email group, and we're hoping to do some meetups, certainly in London, and there's no reason if there's interest why we wouldn't do one in Brighton or anywhere else, so people can actually sort of have some physical contact. From a legal side of things, just very briefly, I mean, we also want you to make sure that any innovation and things that you're doing is totally sort of above board and legit, so that then you can go away very with peace of mind that what you're doing isn't going to get closed down or anything like that. So Backstage is also has a license for content reuse, so that's us saying we're really, you know, we're happy for you to go away and incorporate some of the content that we've got from the BBC into your projects. The main issue is we just ask that you don't commercialize it and it's for non-commercial use, but I'll touch on that in a minute. But like I said, if you're going to put effort into it, we don't, you know, you kind of want to know where you stand. So we're quite keen on making sure that it's really clear and hopefully fairly sort of fair play and fair to everyone involved. And finally, it is a platform for us to share content. So we are actually trying to put in place some APIs and some other bits and pieces like that. So why are we doing this? I mean, why does the BBC want to do this? We've got a website, people come and look at the news and look at the homepage and look at everything else there every day. Well, for a start, there is a real open BBC push at the moment. We do want to open up our archives. We do want you to be able to access TV via the internet. And so we have projects going on that look at all that. We've got the Creative Archive, which is a similar kind of idea to what Backstage is within data, but for video. Basically taking stuff that we've got in our program archives and making it available, which isn't applicable here, but it's the same kind of concept. And we also want to identify and showcase talent. I mean, there's some great people in this audience, there's some great people in the UK doing this kind of stuff. We really want to identify that. We want to put your work up on the BBC website so that everyone can see it and people can see what's actually going on. We think that's really important. And we also do want to explore opportunities outside the current projects that we're working on. I mean, we look at stuff, the same stuff day in, day out, you know, news headlines or sport headlines or travel data, and we go up on the relevant websites. But you guys have got some fantastic ideas of other things we could be doing with that, things that we hadn't thought of. So we kind of want to tap into that and also then give you the opportunity to actually experience that for yourselves and incorporate it into your own work so that you can actually feel that some of that belongs to you. And personally for me, I think making APIs, making Web 2.0 stuff, making our RSS available is kind of public service for the 21st century. It's what people in this room probably would expect from the BBC. And I feel quite strongly that it's something that we should be doing with content that, after all, has been sourced or created with license fee payers' money. So things that are on offer at the moment, mainly at the moment in RSS formats, not so much in Web 2.0 formats, thinking slightly more sort of read-write formats, which I'll go on to in a minute, but it's coming. But the things that we've got on offer, as you can see, BBC News and Sport RSS feeds. So you can come to the site, download, choose headlines from any of the BBC News or Sport section on the website and incorporate those into your bits and pieces, the projects and websites that you're doing. Travel XML, a really rich feed of information about where there's currently delays and problems on the road and rail network with that long information. And as I'll show you later on, there's some great stuff you can do with Google Maps on that. TV listings data, again, a really rich feed of all of the programming information for 7 days that's available on all of our TV and radio stations. Weather data is coming very soon. I keep saying that, but it is coming, and that hopefully will be a proper Web 2.0 feed that you can interrogate, very similar to the way that the Flickr stuff works. So you can get the current weather and future weather for cities around the world and that kind of thing. Everything that you'd expect. And that's going to come from the Met Office because they provide the BBC with the data. And there's also some threads from BBC message boards. We've got quite a strong community of message boards on the BBC, and you can pick off threads and do some interesting things with that as well. And there's more to come. It doesn't stop. We want to keep on pushing. The BBC's got loads of data, and my role is to come along to here and advocate what we're doing at the BBC, but internally my role is also to advocate all the things that you guys are doing to the rest of the BBC and say, look, these guys, you guys are doing some great stuff. Can we release more feeds so that you guys have more to play with? So what is the deal with Backstage? If you want to take part, how does it work? What are the rules? That kind of thing. It is strictly non-commercial use, which probably for most people in this room is totally fine. Charging for the data or anything like that isn't within the rules of what we allow. But other than that, you know, we're pretty flexible. As long as you don't bring the BBC into disrepute or anything like that, all of the terms are on the website. It's pretty plain English. It's not anything sort of, it's not pages and pages of documentation or anything like that. And as you can see up there, remixing with other web services and other Web 2.0 stuff that's going on, Google, Flickr, Amazon, whatever. We really encourage that. It's not something which we're sold, oh, we don't want that. We really, really want to see what you guys can do with other stuff as well. Bring it together and see what new can be created. It's something that we understand is important, the remix culture, and it's something that we're trying to embrace as opposed to stifle or stop or anything like that. And the thing which I'm really have pushed for, and I'm pleased that we have, is that when you build something with Backstage, we're very clear, you retain all intellectual property to the stuff that you build. So if you're building a Web 2.0 scripts or some applications that use BBC Backstage, is there a slight buzz on the... Okay, sorry. If you build stuff, you retain the intellectual property. It's worth having a little read of some of the other developer networks just to make sure that you're happy with those, because some of them do sort of have first rights over stuff, and sort of if they like what you build, they can. There's all sorts of issues there. Some do check out what we've got, because we're basically saying if you build stuff, it's yours. We still retain the copyright over the content, but in terms of the scripts you built and everything else, it's yours. Do what you want with it. And like I said, if you build something and we put it up on Backstage, we showcase it to the world on the Backstage website, and there is a lot of people looking at that. Other people like yourself, people inside the BBC, people who are sort of could be seen as competitors to the BBC, loads of people looking at what's going on, and I know that loads of people, both BBC and non-BBC people, contact a lot of the people who put stuff up on Backstage to see whether they can take it forward. So let me just go very quickly through the workflow of how this all works. So you might have a really great idea of something you want to do, maybe a new way of presenting some news, maybe something you want to do with travel feeds, maybe a mobile phone application that might show a travel delay information. You come along to the Backstage website, you check out what we've got available. If you see something that fits, you can access that feed, incorporate it into your application. Once you've finished your application, you just submit it to us. We make sure that it's okay, and 99.9% of the time it is. And we make essentially a blog post about it on our website, and it's permalinked, and anyone can therefore link to it, link to what you've got to say about it on a BBC page. And as I said, a lot of people look at this, so it's a great way of getting yourself noticed if that's important to you. And I think a lot of people get a lot of satisfaction of having the stuff up there, which I'm really pleased about. Okay, you've submitted something, then what? Well, we are also interested in identifying stuff that we think is really, really great. And there are some fantastic things that are submitted to Backstage. And if we identify stuff that we really think has got some opportunity, then we really want to work with you to see how we can take it to the next level. Maybe releasing some more data on an individual basis. Maybe giving you some resource, who knows. It's something that it's something which we don't just sort of say build it, great, and we'll leave you to it. We really do want to sort of support you. And there's loads of Web 2.0 stuff that people have been building on Backstage, where we've either been able to offer some kind of assistance, maybe put people in touch with other people who can help them, or maybe even actually been able to commission it, which is ultimately what we want to do. If there's been a couple of things already where we've said this is brilliant, and I'll give you some examples of that later, where we've said this is brilliant, we want to put it on bbc.co.uk website and make it into an official thing. So we've discussed that, and obviously with the people who've built it, and obviously come to an agreement, and things will go up on the official BBC website, which I think is really great for us, and I hope you would agree that it's really great for you guys. And it's all possible because there is the data available, and it's rights cleared, and in formats that people can remix and access. It's some of the data in the BBC, potentially still most of the data is still not necessarily within that category, but some of the good data is, and that's what makes Backstage available and possible. Plus, we have a passionate user base. This is actually a slide I gave to some other companies who are looking at this idea, and we are very much appreciative that people like the BBC, so we kind of want to help you sort of help each other and help us and everyone just kind of innovate together, and that's all through the fact that we've got a passionate user base, which we really want to support. And we have support from the top. People within BBC are really passionate about Backstage, all the way up to the top of the director of new media, Ashley Highfield, is really keen on it. It's not just the sort of thing that's going on kind of in a dark corner. It is something that people are quite interested in throughout the BBC. I just want to show you a couple of things that people have submitted, which just kind of illustrate what we're doing, what they're doing, in fact. And just to give you an example, really. So this is probably a very familiar Google map. And this was taking a BBC News travel feed, which is an RSS. No, it's not an RSS. It's a travel XML feed DTD. And they've just passed it through, so they've outputted it, as you can see, on the right-hand side there. And then because there's latitude and longitude information, it's quite a rich feed. They've actually been able to put that on the map, so you can see where the delays and problems are happening. Kind of seems obvious, but actually the BBC website doesn't display the travel information like this. Not yet, anyway. But obviously it's something that we've obviously noticed and are looking at something we can do something similar in the future, which is why it was really useful. And of course, I think it's Don Ramsey who created this. He's also got a lot of interest, I know, as this will have other overlays, which aren't BBC ones necessarily, which have Flickr and all sorts of things on it. He also went down all the way down to London. At a London level, we actually have jam cams, I think, as they're called, as you can see up here. And he's actually put those into a map, which works really well. At the moment, we just list them out like they are there on the right-hand side on the BBC website. And he's actually displayed them in a map, which, again, makes sense, kind of obvious, but we sit in front of this stuff all the time, and I don't think it necessarily was obvious. So we're really appreciative of the idea. And it's kind of like what Simon from Flickr was saying earlier about people prototyping the ideas. Rather than just sending an idea, oh, you could do this on a map, I mean, it really helps to have a proper example. That's something we can show to people who maybe aren't technical, maybe aren't sort of working in this, but may make a decision. And we can say, look, this chap here produced this great thing. We should invite him in, have a chat with him about it, and work out whether there's something we can take forward with it. We also had a competition recently, so we asked you just to submit anything you want, but we also say, okay, there's a few things that we want to look at within the BBC and we think are generally interesting in general, and we run a competition with a prize. And the first competition was to look at TV data. So we released this feed of 7 days of TV and radio from all the BBC stations, and we said, how would you display it? Display it in a new way. Do something with it. Just go away and take it and do something innovative and creative with it. And we had something like 20 really fantastic ideas, and it was very difficult to find a winner, but we did come to a decision. And this one here, Mighty TV, which is by Leo Lapworth and Leon Brocard, who created this fantastic web page. Let me just come up and bring that up. There it is. As you can see, it looks stunning. And what's really great about this is they've really thought from a Web 2.0 perspective as well here, in that not only are they taking some of the data that we've made available, but where they're adding value, they're then making that available in Web 2.0 formats and general kind of sharing it as well. Let me just give you a demonstration of that. There's some great Ajax on here as well, so I really recommend you have a look at this. It's at mytv.com, as you can see up here. Again, a really simple grid-like example of the TV, and you can obviously hover over. Just the kind of stuff which, for many of you, you would probably think, well, this just looks like what we all come to expect. But actually, in the BBC, as you can appreciate, our websites don't necessarily look like this, but it's something which we're thinking, this is very interesting, we should really think about that, and some of the ways that they're presenting this information. But that's not really the cool thing about this site. The cool thing is some of the tagging and other bits and pieces where they're adding additional value. So you can come to this site, you can tag a program. Let me just very quickly show you that. Tag it and rate it. And from there, as you can see, there's some RSS. There's also an iCal opportunity to save that to your diary. But then when they generate the overall best recommendations, again, there's one of those micro format JavaScript include thingies. I don't know what the exact name of that is. JSON. And RSS. So again, you can incorporate something in that. So where they're adding value, them to also wanting to help you guys to potentially incorporate that into your projects as well. So we're definitely going to be talking to these guys about what else we might be able to do together to take this forward to the next level. So as I said, we really are very keen to work with guys. And we also awarded them a rack mount server as the prize. So we will have future competitions, and there's possibilities to win some cool stuff. So the final one I want to show you is, of the three examples, is a prototype which someone built, which to begin with hasn't got an immediate Web 2.0 example or a Web 2.0 aspect yet, but I think may well in the future. But it's something which we have commissioned, and so I'm just showing this also as something which, just to kind of say that if you do build stuff, we do take interest, and we do potentially take it to the ultimate final iteration of putting it on the site. So that was the BBC News website, and this is an example of a, basically, for those of you who do programming, diff for news, and you can see the differences each time a change was made to the BBC News website. It's a thing which was produced with Backstage. And this was July the 7th, which obviously was a big date. And as you can see, Olympics, and then 9:38, so on and so forth. Well, what's that got to do with Web 2.0? Well, one of the things which we're potentially looking at doing is making some feeds and APIs out of this so that you can query this at a particular given time and find out what happened at a particular time. And just kind of add additional value to some of the existing RSS and other things that we're doing on the BBC News website. Not sure about that yet, but the actual example that you've seen there is being commissioned. So we do take interest in what's produced. So I do just want to talk a little bit more about specifically Web 2.0, because I know we're very much focused at the moment on RSS as an initial iteration, which some people may say, that's not Web 2.0. I think it's got a place within the Web 2.0 scope. Clearly, people have got different definitions of what Web 2.0 is. I'm very much aware that, you know, Web 2.0 is traditionally, what we often think of is read-write web. And of course, with Backstage, it's read-write web in a traditional read-only environment. We're a broadcaster, traditionally. Things are changing, as I'll go on to in the next slide, but that's one of the reasons why, for the time being, there aren't as many proper Web 2.0 APIs available on Backstage yet. It is changing, but it's basically a culture shift, which, you know, and this is the BBC, it does take some time. So my kind of appeal to you all is bear with us. We're very much aware that we need to ramp up even more our Web 2.0 offering and making sure that we've got proper APIs into some of the services and content that we have, not just RSS feeds, which are quite static. There are rights issues as well, so this is a kind of another explanation. It's not trying to be excuses, but it is something which I think people don't always aren't always aware of, and that is that the data that's on the BBC News website doesn't necessarily belong to the BBC, so we may license it for our own use, but to try and put it out so that we can re-syndicate it in a Web 2.0 format is sometimes tricky. In fact, it often is tricky. We've got methods in place. We're trying to sort these things out, and we will, I'm sure, over time. But again, my appeal is to bear with us, because it does take time. And you'd be surprised at the amount of data in the BBC that's not in a CMS. And of course, if it's not in some kind of database or CMS system, it's very difficult to make a Web 2.0 application from it. But the BBC does get Web 2.0. We do want to embrace it. And as I said, we're trying to change internally so that we can embrace it even more. Rights holders are beginning to appreciate alternative business models and things where Web 2.0 and offering the ability for you guys to have access to content is actually useful to them. And we're slowly eking out some of the really cool data from the BBC's repositories. Which I'm going to show you in a minute. In fact, I'm going to show you now. So this is the first public demonstration of this new project that we've got at the moment. It's IMDb for BBC programs. We have a big library of every program that we broadcast for many, many years back. This database that this uses doesn't have exactly all of them, but it's pretty awesome in terms of the number of programs it does have. Certainly from 1980 onwards, I know it's very rich, and that's pretty far back. It's not necessarily going to be used to offer the actual video for download in the same way that IMDb doesn't offer you movies to download, but it's very good for in the same way that people want to search out films and all the kind of relational database things you can do with IMDb. We're looking at doing that with our BBC Programme Archive, which I'll give a demonstration of. But there are some health warnings, as it were. This is it's still in development, and what I'm going to show you is actually off the development server, so who knows what might happen. And as I said, it is an experimental prototype, so who knows. And we're not going to be releasing programmes from it, I don't think. It's not a complete record of the BBC's programmes, as I said, but it's pretty awesome. We're hopefully going to launch this early next year as an experimental prototype, even then. But there will be a Web 2.0 offering alongside it. It's something, as I said, that we're quite passionate about, and this is a great example of that. And it's all through the fact that BBC librarians document every programme that goes out on BBC, on all of the channels and radio stations, so they need to be thanked. Just to tell you a little bit about it, it is a rich relational database. It's Ruby on Rails, which is something very new for us. I'm sure many of you guys have checked it out, Ruby on Rails. I think it's quite interesting, particularly for rapid prototyping, and I would definitely recommend everyone sort of check it out if you haven't looked at it already. And as I said, we are very keen to offer a Web 2.0 offering, a proper API, so that you can interrogate this database Web 2.0 style as well as Web 1.0 style, I guess. And I can't take any credit for this, and so I don't want to. It was produced and is still being produced by Matt Bidulph and Ben Hammersley, two very talented individuals who are currently working on it and are doing a fantastic job. So let's make this a proper interactive demonstration. Has anyone here either appeared on a BBC programme or radio programme or contributed to one or anything like that? This chap here at the front. What's your name? Zach. And your second name? Ingles. Like that? And what program did you appear on? Well, shall we find out? Let's find out. Nope, it doesn't say. Maybe not. So as I said, it's all down to the way that the librarians document who was involved in a program. So sometimes you get loads, sometimes you don't. So, and it also isn't 100% coverage. Is there anyone else in the room? Otherwise, I will just type in my favourite example, which is the legendary John Peel, who obviously appeared. Whoops, who obviously appeared in lots of programs. So this is a development skin as well. It's not necessarily going to look like this at the end. Can I enlarge the text? That's a very good question. I should be able to. And if I do that, you can also see that there is already some feedy things going on down here. Is that better? You're very demanding, Simon. You know, now you're working at Yahoo. No, I'm joking. Is that okay for you guys? Brilliant. Thank you. Right. I'm sorry about that. Great. So, lots of things here. This is kind of a free search of John Peel. And as you can see, I can bring up where there's a series with the word John, or the term John Peel in it. There's tagging here, there's tag clouds, as you can see. But this is a proper relational database, and the John Peel does have an entry, so that would be this one here. As opposed to John Peel the surgeon, or John Peel the taxi driver. Let's just have a look. I'm just curious where John Peel the taxi driver, what was he was in? He was in Midlands to Today in 1994 and BBC Breakfast News in July 1998. And there's friend of a friend information there and an RSS 1.0 feed if you're interested. Or maybe not, as the case may be. But let's have a quick look at the John Peel. So you can see there when his first broadcast was, when his last broadcast was. I can tell you what his last broadcast was. So as we go through this, I should say all of these, the idea with all of these screens is that these screens will be available essentially as Web 2.0 as well. Things that you can interrogate up here in a very REST-like way, and you can bring back this data. Obviously, I'd rather show you the HTML than a load of XML, because even though we're all XML monkeys, it just kind of looks nicer. So on this day, looks like, when was it? Is it going to tell me? No, it just tells me the days of the programs that were there, so that's not quite as helpful. As I said, this is still a work in progress. It's not going to tell me the actual name of the program just yet. Let me just give you an example here. So John Peel, you've got a little example here of where every time he broadcasted a little, so you can see he was really broadcasting at the very end here in 2005. You can see all the programs that he was in, appearances. Let's see. I really liked Life of Grime. Don't know about you, I thought that was brilliant, and he did the voiceover. And so again, there's a program series here. I can tell you when each program was broadcast. I've got all the information here about when it was broadcast, who was in it. So Henry P. Leo was in it. I can see when what else he might have been in. Nope, he's only been in one thing. But as you can see here, there's lots of information here. We've got feeds already to begin with, and we will do a lot more feeds for this, so that hopefully there's some really great ideas that you can think of that you might want to do with this. And if you have got ideas, please let us know, because we'd love to know some of the initial ideas of what you might want to do with this and tag clouds. That is the end of the presentation. So I would leave you with the final sort of point that anyone who kind of already looks at Backstage and knows what we've got will know that the Web 2.0 offering per se is not amazingly vast at the moment. But as I said, it's something which is one of our top priorities with this, and we are trying to slowly move the BBC towards offering loads of more Web 2.0 feeds. And as we said, we've got lots of RSS feeds and other things like that, sort of read-only feeds. So please do bear with us. We do hope and feel that we've got something to add to the Web 2.0 community. It's just very much a matter of just slowly pushing through and bearing with us, and also helping us by sort of demonstrating some of the great things you can do with the existing feeds, which many of you already are. There's questions and answers, and that's also the URL where you can download this presentation, which I left to the end so that I could still use the Wi-Fi without it being heavily slow. So can the chap who asked the last question just during the middle, who was that?
Hi, yeah.
Hi.
The media behind all that information.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether it was tagged so I could go to the specific place in the media stream, or I had to go through the whole stream to get the information.
So as I was saying, this is a database of program information that for the time being, and certainly in terms of, we haven't got any other views on making any actual media files available in conjunction with this. As I said, it really is going to be IMDb, in the same way that IMDb does not give you any access to the actual film itself. There is going to be a separate product which we'll be launching hopefully next year that will allow you to access the media. So obviously, because we're not accessing the media, it's not obviously possible to access the particular scene itself, unfortunately. It's just not the current way that we're trying to take this product for the time being anyway. But it's an interesting idea, and something which I'm sure, as everything sort of joins up and we do start putting our programs on the internet, it's certainly something which I'm sure could be tied into this at a future iteration.
You've got a lot of historical information, which is great,
mm-hmm.
but up to date information about what's on TV and radio today and tomorrow,
yep.
and whatever, isn't that useful, because not all the channels I watch are from the BBC.
Yep.
Are you pushing other television companies to get this information out, or are you pushing them to not do it so then you look better than they do?
No, not at all. As I said, so the concept of what do we do with other companies, I mean, in the remix environment, as I said, we really want people to remix with other web services. So that would, you know, there's nothing at all with Backstage where we're trying to sort of suppress anyone else. We do, as I said, have 7-day feeds for TV and radio of the BBC networks. The only reason why we don't offer the other channels is due to the fact that, A, we don't have the rights to distribute them, and also we obviously generate these feeds ourselves, so we don't actually have the feeds necessarily for what's on other channels, and as I said, we don't have the rights necessarily to distribute them, even if we did. It's funny, this whole area is something as a technical person like yourselves, I've sort of learnt more about sort of recently, and I would have thought feeds generally of TV, of what's on TV, would just kind of be free. But of course, there is actually a commercial value, you know, all of the listing magazines, etc., buy them up. So obviously, it was quite a step for the BBC to say, well, okay, we'll give them away as part of a feed that we're offering. And I guess it is a challenge, therefore, to the other broadcasters to see whether or not they'll do the same. I don't think there's any reason why they wouldn't, but it's not we can't really be sort of distributing other people's feeds, but it's not that we don't want to or anything.
So if you weren't limited by licensing laws whatsoever and Backstage had all the capability you want right now, mm-hmm. what would you do with it?
Sure. So then if I could do anything I wanted, and licensing issues aside, then every single page on the BBC website would have an RSS feed. Every data repository that we have, from postcode information, which we use on our Action Network campaigning site, through to the databases like that, which we use in broadcast, all of those would be available. We can see the potential, and it's not a technical mission, this. It's about actually getting the rights holders to loosen up a little bit, which, as I said, is slowly happening. Therefore, I sort of ask you to bear with us on that. But that's what I would do. I personally think, and I know there's a lot of spin and hype over Web 2.0, but I generally think that the BBC has got the potential to really be a significant offering in Web 2.0. environment, just because of the number of data repositories with data which I'm sure many of you guys would find very useful to access. Do we have time for this last chap here at the end, who was just behind?
Thank you. This is slightly off topic for Backstage, but hey, you're here, you're from the BBC, and you evangelize open stuff.
This is going to be dangerous. Go on.
No, it's fine. For however long it's been since BBC started putting radio content on the internet, it's only been in real player format. What's your view, either personally, do you think there's any chance of pushing the BBC to fire it into some alternative, non-proprietary formats? I know you're going to say management, but we all know it doesn't actually protect it.
I know, my personal views really can't come into it at this point. I can't sort of talk about that. From a BBC perspective, I know that historically we've always used Real Player, because back in the day when we were looking for streaming formats, which was a long time ago, we've been streaming video for a very long time, more than 5 years, I think. Real was the only technology around at the time. So it's kind of a historical thing. The BBC News console uses Windows Media Player, as well as Real, and I don't know exactly the reasons why not, but I would have thought in time, if we ever get podcasting for every radio show, which I don't know whether it would happen, but I would have hoped, who knows, but certainly then we would be looking, I guess, at MP3 formats if that was to ever happen. Obviously, there's loads of rights issues, because obviously many shows have music in them, etc., which obviously if anyone's into podcasting knows there's an issue, but... I think that I really don't know, but I know that many people would be interested in something similar as well. So we'll see what happens. We do listen, so we'll take it on board. Thank you. I guess that's everything, isn't it? Thank you very much. Thank you. Cheers.